All right, welcome, welcome. Not sure if you all heard that recording in progress, but I assure you the call is being recorded now. For any folks listening after the fact, thank you for listening. Really appreciate you being here. Let's see, howdy, this is Joey calling from OC, California. Well, thank you for being here from Orange County. I know it's beautiful there, so thank you for taking the time to be on a call with us. My name is Andy Marks, joined by my co-host Jessica Loomer, if you want to say hey, Jess. I know we know many of you, and many of you have heard me say this spiel many, many times, but for new folks who are here, I just want to say a huge welcome. Thank you for being here. Jessica and I met in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, back in June of 2014. So almost 10 years ago, we met at what was the first LHON conference I attended and the first LHON conference for Jessica. And we immediately recognized the huge benefit to really being able to share experiences and visit and chat and connect with other people who are part of the LHON community. Because while our experiences are so very unique in our day-to-day lives and they really stand apart from most people that we interact with, we share so much in common with other people who are part of this community. So we started these calls in August of that year, and we've been doing well over 100 calls since then. Every month, always this exact same time. So always 8 p.m. Eastern here on the East Coast in the US, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thank you all for being here. I'm now realizing that I pitched this call to a few folks on TikTok that reached out earlier this month. So if you happen to be here, I just want to send a special shout out to you. Thank you for being here. My name is Andy Marks. You may have seen me there. But just wanted to let you all know that we have these calls to accomplish any number of things that the folks who are here may want to do. So these calls aren't only for people who are affected by LHON. They're affected by, or sorry, they're here for our loved ones and our friends and family. And in some ways, people who are interested in this community, people who want to help this community in some way. That's been doctors in the past. It's been people who are create accessible technology or accessible products, continuing to add people to the call. But these calls have had lots of different formats over the years. We have guest speakers. We have specific topics we talk about. We try and bring some topics that we know have been fresh on the minds of folks here. But we also always encourage you to come with your own questions and/or comments that you want to make to a big community here, because this is one of the few calls we have where everyone that's part of the LHON community is invited to be here. There are several other more niche calls based on regions or specific topic areas, whether that be technology or employment. But this is a place for us all to connect. And we want to make sure that we share all of the combined collective knowledge we have with everyone so we can all benefit from it. That allows folks who are new to this community to really adapt quickly. But also, it allows us all to just benefit from knowing each other and sharing experiences, laughing, smiling, being there to give each other's hugs virtually over the phone pretty frequently. So the last thing I will say before I end this somewhat different spiel than I normally do is that sometimes the conversation here steers toward a topic that Jessica and I, and frankly no one else on this call, is an expert on. Those could be very specific legal or employment or even medical questions. And if that happens, we're happy to have those questions raised, but if we think your question's better suited for someone else, we may direct those somewhere else eventually. But we certainly want to help you find an answer if it's something you want to know. With that, before we open up the call and kind of hear from others, Jessica, how are you? Happy New Year.
As I start choking, so sorry. Happy New Year and happy 2024. It's so crazy to me that it's already 2024. Time flies when you're having fun. And my cousin, that's younger than me, quickly reminded me that he was born in 2003, and I was like, "Wow, that's a long time ago." And I was definitely graduating high school, so that's awesome. So, yeah,
Well,
time flies when
happy
you're having
August
fun.
21st to your young cousin.
I know, right? I was like, wow. But yeah, so great. How was your holidays?
It was fantastic. The last time we had a call, I would have been in Hoboken, but I spent 2.5 weeks in North Carolina with family. Well, between Virginia and North Carolina, a very short amount of time in Virginia. I took a train down to Virginia, got to see a bunch of friends, got to see a bunch of family. We did tons of things, theme parks, movies, board games. I had lunch with countless friends, took long lunches from work. Don't tell my boss. I had lunch with several of my dad's former coworkers, and really just benefited from lots of outdoor time in the Carolinas. And I got back here just in time to celebrate New Year's back home, which was a good time as well. Were you in nice. Denver the whole time, or where were you?
I was in Phoenix the whole time. I left actually Christmas Eve, and my drive into the airport, it was snowing, and I was like, please don't delay, please don't delay, please don't delay. If you remember all the flight craziness from last Christmas time. So, but all was well. I only got, on the way home, I only got delayed 1 hour and had to switch one set of planes. So Southwest sent me a $50 love coupon because I guess they were like, I don't know, worried that we'd get grouchy again or something. So, but not too bad. Got to catch up with old friends. Got to see people that I haven't seen in a long time and friends that live in Arizona, and spent some good quality time completely disconnected from work and some good quality time with family. And it was my dad's 71st birthday, and people love that I'm saying it's his 71st birthday on a recorded line. You're welcome, Dad. And yeah, so we got to celebrate his birthday, and just kind of hung out. Yeah, so, and they have a new golden retriever, and so I was teaching the golden retriever, you know, sit, stay, come, all of the fun stuff. And so it's such a cute dog, but she doesn't actually know her size, so she thinks she's a lap dog, but she's like quickly approaching 50 pounds. She's just like, and she like gallops, and yeah, so you know, puppies, people, and really good food.
I love all of that. I want to say your parents got a dog when you got Jax. Didn't they get a mini Aussie just like you did?
They did, but they actually had to put him down a month ago because he actually got super sick. And it was pretty sad. So they so now they just have one dog. But yeah, they had Jax's brother, my dog. And luckily they look very different, so that does help, but they have very similar mannerisms with Aussies. And so the first time my mom saw my dog, she was very sad. And so it was super, super recent and super tragic. And he was only 3. So yeah, really sad.
Wow. I hate to hear that, but we will transition, obviously not very seamlessly from that, but I'm sorry to hear that. For those new folks here on the call, I will highlight something that I, for some reason, rarely say, and that is that both Jessica and I are affected by LHON and have been for, I say that because I am just over 10 years having been affected at this point. Jessica, are you at 11 yet?
I think this coming this coming October, I will be 12. So I'm 11 and a half ish, maybe.
Okay. Tomorrow kinda will crazy. Be my 10-year anniversary of driving, I think. Or like, ooh, not wow. Driving, rather. although I did race a go-kart for a work event last month. Or in November.
Do you do anything to like kind of honor these anniversaries of like, do you do anything different? Like I'm sure we all can kind of share stories of remembering where we go for the last place. And mine was Target. Do you do anything different that like to kind of.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because like when it occurs to me, like right now, as I said, oh, tomorrow will be 10 years. And I don't even know if that's a real thing. I just, January 4th is what I've always said. I intend to. That doesn't often bear out. I wouldn't say I ever do anything like in my real life. Like I never like, oh, like go say Megan, that's my wife's name, take me to a parking lot and I want to get behind the wheel and drive in a circle. Like, that would be a funny thing to do, but I don't do that. I don't go to a go-kart place. What I have done occasionally is like written about it, shared a story online, shared a story not online, talked about it in some way. Those are the kinds of things I'm more likely to do. Although, I mean, I'm all for like recognizing things, especially where they are meaningful. I mean, I lost my dad a couple years ago, and I often find occasions to remember him, whether it's the day he passed or his birthday or Father's Day or anything like that. So while us losing our vision is nothing like losing a person, and I'm not here to say one is better or worse, how they are different, but they are different. I recognize something that's really special about some people who want to honor that day in some way. I know I'm not going to name names here, but I know several people write about it online, and I see them post, whether it's in an LHON Facebook group or just on their own pages. And I know that can be somewhat cathartic, or at least allow people to recognize how far they've come and how much they've been able to accomplish, even if at one point in time they didn't think they'd be able to, or even if at one point in time they thought it would take them longer, or even if they thought they couldn't find a job or find love or be able to do some activity they've now mastered in some way. And I think that's a cool thing to do. Do you do anything ever to honor specific days like that?
I don't actually. No. I guess it was just, I don't actually remember. I think I might be one of the few. I actually honestly don't remember the actual day. I would say I remember it being in October. I remember at the events and kind of like what led up to it, but I actually don't remember like the actual day for one eye to the other. And I was 6 months between October and March was left eye to right eye. But I don't remember the actual day. But I've actually had, I feel like most,
No, I was just, I certainly don't remember specific days. Like you, I remember months more than days. Like I know my first or my first appointment at a doctor's office was September, and then by December it was in both or I both eyes had been affected, and by January 4th I stopped driving, which was probably later than it should have been. But yeah, I don't know why some days stick in your mind because they do, and some others don't.
Yeah, that's super interesting, and I feel like most recently, like, I don't know if I've been taking more Ubers or kind of being on more adventures and traveling. I feel like the kind of the education of when somebody says like, oh, what does visually impaired mean versus all of those other things? And like, what can you see? And like, you know, kind of having that conversation with the outside world, and explaining LHON. I feel like that kind of conversation has changed and progressed so much. What I used to say is so different than what I say now, too, especially like a random stranger. And I feel like I've done a ton of it in the last month. It's been really interesting. So
is that
I don't
roughly
know why
since
that
you've moved?
Maybe it's just with the holidays and traveling a ton,
yeah,
and just kind of being out and about and in a lot of different, way different situations than I think that I normally am in. Like I went to a mall and just got treated differently than I never get treated like that. And I was like super shocked by the experience. And I guess more
when you say you never get treated that way, was that a negative experience?
Yeah, it was totally negative.
Oh wow.
Yeah, the lady talked to me like she talked to me really loudly, and she would ask me like really weird questions. And I say weird questions, like I asked to get a chapstick, and she's like, would you like me to take off the wrapper? And I was like, no, I don't want you to open my chapstick, you random lady. Like, what in the world?
Yeah.
But then she would talk to me and she'd be really loud. And
right.
I mean, I'm sure everyone here affected has had one sort of experience when like people talk to us loudly thinking that like, I'm like, yo, like I can hear, just can't see. But it was it was very uncomfortable. She felt like she needed to like do something different on how she had to help me. And I went to the next store, I went to Aveda, and they're like, oh, hey, what's up? And I was like, oh my God, thank goodness. Y'all are normal. Like,
you
it
wanted
was
to
so
make sure
different.
You weren't in like a time warp or something. No, that makes
Yeah,
sense.
I was like, is my hair bad? Like, is my makeup weird? Like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, no. It's interesting. But I mean, and then especially Ubers, I feel like more Ubers are kind of more open to asking, how can I best help? And I think that conversations, it's easy and not easy. And I think that kind of goes in like fluctuates in roller coasters, you know, over the years that we just talked about being affected.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it ebbs and flows. One, you can like be on a typical progression to being more comfortable with that conversation. You could be on a typical progression being less comfortable with that conversation, or it can just ebb and flow at different times of the day, week, your mood. Like I certainly sometimes am going to volunteer a lot more information, sometimes volunteer a lot less, sometimes be very comfortable,
totally,
sometimes be very uncomfortable. I was here over here speculating why you would have to be doing that more, whether it's for travel reasons, for your move reasons, for dates or friends or whatever it may be. But I think we all go through periods where there are times where we're doing that conversation a lot, when we're maybe meeting new folks or in interacting with strangers more often, and other times where we don't. It's interesting that we're talking about like times to honor and like different, whether it's dates to memorialize in some way or anniversaries, because obviously we just passed New Year's. And I know lots of people do New Year's resolutions. And I think we've spoken in the past about like whether there are specific vision related resolutions that people have made or things that people want to accomplish. It's easy to think about that both around New Year's, but also around anniversaries of having lost our vision, whether it's something we want to, a task we want to master that we were able to do when we had vision, or a skill we'd like to learn. I know there have been times in the past where people want to learn how to, whether it's play a blind accessible sport or read Braille or travel somewhere alone for the first time ever. Do you ever actually state goals like that that you want to do by specific dates at all or no?
Yeah, I would say I use specific numbers. Like if there's a thing I wanted to accomplish, I actually make a vision board, which feels a little funny to say. I make a vision board every year, and actually it's sitting in front of me and it's totally empty and it's on my to-do list that I'm going to make it this week, by in a week. So what I get is like, you know, like that gigantic post-its like that people probably use in like meeting rooms that are presentation that are probably like a 4x2, maybe it's like a 4x2.
I think I know exactly what you're like, I'm imagining it being in a room where a focus group would be held or something like that. Yeah.
So I actually use that. And so I'll use and just kind of, I'll draw, I'm not a good drawer, but I'll draw out kind of like what I envision that I want to accomplish in that year. So I might have like when I was looking for a new job, I actually like mapped out everything that I wanted, like down to like what I wanted for salary, but where I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it and what would surround me, and kind of stating like I very much believe in like power of affirmations. And so I said like, I deserve, I will get, I will have, and I speak about it as if it's already there. And yeah, so I'll make kind of, that will be the goal for what I put up for the year. So I'll do that. And it's totally great. But I'll use like, when you're talking specifics, I'll be very specific in the things that I write down to ensure that that's, you know, kind of my belief is kind of what I put out in the universe.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
Just I'm a personal thought.
Conversations here in the chat as well as I keep up with things. Appreciate everyone being involved. But no, I think those are great. Are there other? I know there were a few topics you brought from the conversation you've seen over the past month or so. Feel free to kind of bring some of those up. I also will let everyone know here that shortly we'll kind of invite you all, if you have questions for each other and or for Jessica and I that you'd like us to kind of talk about outside of the ones that Jessica is going to name.
Yeah. So I was just kind of cruising our Facebook page and just wanted to bring up a couple topics and see if anyone wanted to kind of jump in and chime in. Couple key ones. There was a huge post. We can hear you. Just letting you know if you just cleared your throat. One of the cool things was kind of shared was blind hockey. And I think it was Dustin that actually posted about, I think it was like 6 blind hockey players. And it was pretty cool that he shared that it was actually all 3 mutations, or all 3, I should say, main mutations that were represented for blind hockey. So that's really cool. I know we've had in the past a couple blind hockey players on our LH1 call. So that was always awesome to kind of bring up. So I saw that was the most recent post. One of the other ones I saw was kind of someone highlighting, I think it was Matthew. He was highlighting just his experience at one of the blind centers that he joined when he had first lost vision, and they were actually celebrating their 175th anniversary. And I just thought it was really cool to be able to highlight part of his post kind of shared how they really welcomed him. And I just think it's really cool because once you can find that blind center that kind of fits you, it really does make a world of difference to surround yourself with people that totally get you and understand and kind of give you the tools and resources that are really helpful. Other two quick topics I'll highlight before I kind of open it up is one of them was sharing, and it was a dad that was sharing that there's a ton of obviously like tools and resources that are always kind of like thrown kindly, but thrown at someone that's newly affected. And why CCTV versus Zoom Text versus JAWS versus like all the different tools of a Ruby. And he was really kind of just asking for guidance. I thought that was a really great question because I think it's a very common one, especially being new to the LH1 world and our family. And so that all the comments were so great that people have posted, but I do want to share back to Matthew to join us for the assistive technology call. And that actually, that calendar is actually posted for all calls for the entire year for 2024 is posted on the LH1.org website. So check that out because we'd love for you to join. But if you guys have anything to add, please jump in and share here, but also jump in on Facebook and kind of join the conversation. Last thing is that an anonymous person posted asking about transportation. And I feel like this is a topic we hit often, but especially having a new person join us tonight, transportation is always kind of a big one. And I feel like laws and policies are changing often for what resources and services are allowed for us or given to us. So I think it's always kind of great to kind of learn where you can find resources and especially funding to kind of make that easy. I've lived in Denver for quite some time and I am finally getting around to doing paratransit because the next like process I have to go through will allow for me to have Uber rides and actually covered up to $20. So I have to go back to the doctor and back to getting qualified, but all totally worth it because it's really great funding that's available. So those are kind of some key things that I saw. Obviously there's a ton of good conversations and posts all on Facebook, but as I was cruising quickly, those are some things I wanted to bring up. But yeah, Andy, what do you think? You want to at this time just kind of open it up if anyone wants to chime in? Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna respond to like at least one thing you said and then invite Ellie to kind of be here too. I love your question about all of the technologies thrown at people. And I remember specifically, I mean, I've been sent this question a lot by people whose, frankly, often family members have lost their vision from LHON and they want to be able to help the right way. And they're like, what kinds of things should I be getting for them? What kinds of things should I be doing for them? And the advice that I won't say everyone gives this advice, but we've given this advice a number of times on LHON Live to basically say, when it comes to technology, try some things out, but don't go just opening your wallet like crazy to buy every piece of expensive technology thinking this is going to be the next fix. This is going to be the next fix because right or wrong, one, you are surely going to spend a lot of money. And two, what you can potentially do is end up putting a lot of pressure on the individual who's lost their vision when inevitably, like the devices that are purchased don't make everything better. They don't make everything immediately the way it used to be. And then there's pressure to like, oh, like you didn't fix it. And so there's a degree of being bummed still there. I mean, I think everyone deals with this differently. And everyone goes through different levels of acceptance. But I do think recognizing that, hey, this isn't a thing that is going to happen overnight, whether it's acceptance of that or just adjusting to it. They can't both happen overnight. Even if you're able to accept it and move forward, you're not going to have all of the things done. Like Jessica said, you're not going to have the paratransit thing done. You're not going to have this card done. You're not going to have that approval and this training and all of these types of things. And I think recognizing that it takes time is really, really valuable. I mean, when I lost my vision, I was in my mid-20s and I was on a career path, which was on the up and up, and everything was going well. I had planned out when I was going to have my next promotion and the promotion after that and seven promotions after that. And I knew exactly what trajectory I wanted to be on. And then when I lost my vision, I basically sat down with lots of people, but I remember my dad saying distinctly that, hey, let's push everything out a year. That this year isn't about hitting any of those goals. And we're not setting goals for that. And it was very freeing for me. I mean, my dad was quite an ambitious person, set goals for himself too, but it was nice for me to hear that from someone I respected that much. And so I encourage people who are out there who are debating what to get someone, show them options, make things easy for them, but do everything you can not to put pressure on them that you're going to find a fix and this is going to be it, whether it's a cure or a piece of technology that's going to make everything the way it would be normally. Those kinds of things I do know can cause some people to kind of pull back. And I want those people to continue to rely on you because frankly, they need to at this time. The only other thing I was going to say is we're bringing topics here to you, and I want anyone who has other topics or questions to be able to do that here. Also, I mentioned early on that we sometimes have guest speakers. If there are specific guest topics that you want us to make sure we talk about on future calls, you can bring those up now too. But with that, I will be quiet because I see the chat is popping off, and I want people to be able to share things here if they'd like to.
Amy, is there anything in the chat you want to share and kind of be able to share back out?
I see some comments here in the chat that I'll kind of call out. Several people talking about when it comes to transportation, reaching out to your local services. For me in Florida, that was Vision for Blind Services. It's different up here in the New York, New Jersey area. But whatever that local city, state, whatever that could be, organization may be for you, more often than not, they can direct you and or help you in terms of getting proper accommodations there. Sometimes that's getting approved to have a card or something that allows you to ride public transportation for free, maybe to supplement and or expense things the way Jessica is talking about with Uber. And the other comment I saw, it was specifically around technology and how your state agencies there can also help purchase some of that technology. So sometimes buying that outright for a family member or a friend or someone who lost their vision, that even if that is the technology they eventually need, purchasing it outright for them may not be the best option. And so that may be able to be supplemented and or purchased by the state.
Oh, yeah, good call. Great call.
Hi,
Lisa from
I'll jump
Canada.
in.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sure, go ahead, Lisa. I'll follow you. That's fine.
Okay. I have a question, and I mean, the majority of you are from the States, but maybe you might know the answer. When flying, is there such a thing for like a partner to accommodate you, a discount there, or does that even exist? Or somebody told me that it is out there, but I don't even know how you'd go about applying for it, and does it have to be the same person every time?
So Lisa, I can answer based on what I know, and then I'm happy to be corrected by other folks here. I can't speak to Canada specifically. I can speak to my own experience. For flights, I don't know that that exists. For other modes of transportation, I do know places where it does exist. So in the case of here in the US, we have Amtrak, which is our major like train service that is cross state lines and everything like that. There, you can purchase a ticket for a person with a disability and a companion of a person with a disability. Both of those would be discounted in that case. Sometimes the same thing is true for local trains and or local public transportation. I don't know of anything specifically for flights, but I'm happy to be corrected if someone here knows of that. I know there are other options within flights, whether it's like a buddy pass that are based on credit card points and other things like that. I don't know of anything based a buddy pass that's based on disability in any way. Does anyone else know of anything like
Okay.
that? Joey says, I think that may be an airline specific question. So maybe we can look that up.
Okay.
Obviously, after the call, if we find anything, Lisa, we'll make sure we get it over to you. But it may be related to
Thank you.
airline specifics. Yep.
Hey guys, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan, I do want to make sure, and I want to hear your question, Megan, but I know someone else was in the queue as well that was talking when Lisa asked your question.
Oh, I was going to answer about the airline
Oh,
piece, but yeah, no worries.
no, Megan, go for it.
No, I was going to say my husband's in the airline industry, and I don't think he has heard of anything in that realm. So he's
Okay.
worked with multiple airlines before, and we've definitely would have taken advantage of it before.
I would say I have some family members also that work for airlines, at least here in the U.S., and they've never told me anything like that. And I've also carried a white cane across the airports all across the U.S. and never been informed of anything like that. But Lisa, obviously, if you have that in Canada, that's fantastic.
I don't think we do.
Yeah, from what I understand, the workaround for them in terms of cost is they will take you in a wheelchair to your flight, similar to with a kid. Like a kid will get walked from the check-in counter all the way to the plane. So there's no justification to them cost-wise to give you a buddy or a friend or a discounter of any kind.
Right.
So they're like, no, like if you're blind, we will absolutely put you in a wheelchair and walk you all the way to your plane. So you don't need a friend to be accompanying you. Then they let you on the plane first. So they're like, you don't need a discount.
I mean, it's all cost savings for them, right? I mean, at the end of the day, just to be honest. So, I mean, and he's worked in Canada, Europe, Australia, Southeast Asia. Like, so I don't think that we've heard of anything like that.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, so it's Paul. First of all, Jessica and Andy, thanks for putting all the time and effort. And it's great that you're the website as well as the calendar and the call. So it's thank you for doing all that time. So our son was confirmed in late October, early November, 11778. So we've dove into this world pretty aggressively, I thought, but there's still a lot to learn, obviously. So really just a couple questions for the group. One is, you know, I looked up this Cleveland conference in June, but the link really isn't active. So is there a way to register for that? Or that's close by, so it's an easy trip, obviously. So I think it'd be beneficial if I attend that. Any information on that as far as open registration and contacts?
Yeah, yes. So I'm not sure if Lisa is still here, but Paul, you said your name was Paul, right?
Yes, Andy.
Okay. So I'm not sure if registration is open for that yet. I will assure you that registration will not fill up without you being able to be informed of that. The first thing I would tell you is make sure you are registered on the LHON.org page, and then you will get emails with email updates on when registration does open, when the hotel becomes available. That's the only thing that ever fills up is sometimes the affiliated hotel will run out of rooms. But at this point in time, you are well ahead of things to be able to register for that conference ahead of time. The other thing I could direct you toward, just to give you a sense of what those conferences are like, are other prior videos that you could find on the LHON.org page of prior conferences that we've held. Our conference is often held right alongside the UMDF, that's the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation conference that they hold once a year as well. And we hold our conference to coincide with theirs as we are part of that broader umbrella organization. And I will go ahead and give a plug in here, give a plug, because I know many others would if I did not, that these conferences really are an amazing opportunity to do anything and everything you want to do. I mean, I lost my vision the really early one year, and by June of that year was at my first conference, similar to your son, if he's able to be at next year's. And it's a great place to both make connections, meet other people, learn some things about technology, but also just witness others who are dealing with the same situation. And I don't know, I'm choosing my words carefully here, but I know a lot of this is new to you, Paul, and new to the rest of your family. We as a community here on this call are happy to answer specific questions you may have, but at the same time, whether there's someone you or your son or others in your family would like to speak to after this call, these calls sometimes are just a great jumping off point to be able to connect individuals so we can help after the calls as well. But first, I just want to say thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Is there a chance that in your family member reached out prior to this, or have you been in contact with anyone else?
So his wife is on the Facebook. I know she has a Facebook account, so I think she monitors the Facebook. I don't have Facebook. I'm not a Facebook guy. So
totally fair.
So she's covering. Yeah. So she's covering that end, and Yeah, there's some in-laws that are in the medical industry, and you know they're keenly aware and have provided some information and contacts. And we've been around. He's been down to Miami, been to U of M, which, anyways, that's where he was diagnosed and was going. And has made some contact with Stanford. We're trying to get him into UCLA just to get seen and get on the people's radar. Right, that's the goal at this point. So he's known. So I'll register. I'm not sure I registered on LHON.org website. I'll look for that link. I did click on something.
Oh, is your son Paul?
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. The question was, how old is your son?
Oh, he's 38. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So his right eye went first over about 9 months, and I won't go into the gory details, but his left eye started going and then was finally diagnosed. And I'm jumping over top of a lot of stuff that occurred.
Yep.
Yeah, which I don't want to get into.
I'm sure there were countless appointments with different specialists, and I hate to say it, but that's all too common here. And we're trying to do what we can to raise some awareness within those communities, but appreciate all the challenges you went through to get where you are today.
Yeah, no, it's very, very rare, obviously. Yeah, that's why we want to get around people that have an understanding of this and have almost devoted their career to it. So I'll look to register on the LHON website for that.
Hi, Paul. This is Maria Johnson, who happens to be the chair of the conference. So I can absolutely answer any questions about the conference. I actually chair the conference the last few years, and I am chairing this year's conference. And do you have the dates of the conference down? And this would be for anyone who's on the call. The conference dates for this year, I keep saying next year, but I guess I can say this year, is June 27th. 28th and 29th. And it's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio. And Andy is correct in everything he said, is that we do not have any information quite up on the website on LHON.org quite yet. We are striving to get everything in place in the next week or two. We do not have any registration information or hotel information as of yet. The first thing that will be promoted is the hotel information. And as soon as we get that from UMDF, we will be promoting that on the LHON.org website and also on Facebook. So, Paul, I think you said your son's wife peruses Facebook, so she'll see it, because we will be promoting it very heavily on Facebook. And then to follow was typically registration, and then more information to follow after that. It will be heavily promoted over there. And always the information will be on LHON.org and other places as well. But those are the two main places. So any and all information will be out there and available when we have it available. So no one's behind on the game. And Paul, we absolutely want you, your son, wife, and your entire family to come to the conference, because as Andy said, it's an invaluable experience and so much to learn and so much connection to be had when you can attend a conference in person.
Great. Thanks, Maria, for the information.
You're welcome.
And Andy, you're right. One of the first things I dove into were the prior recordings off your website from last year's, and that one panel really unleashed a lot of actions on our part. So it's valuable information, even the previous recordings from the last year's conference and the prior years. So that worked out great. Thank you.
I'm so glad they're useful, Paul.
Yeah, it was great. Absolutely great. Just totally enlightening, and actually corresponding with a few, Mark up in outside of Toronto there, corresponding with him on the email, and he was gracious enough to respond back. And so the overall community is very welcoming, I think, because it is so rare and so small, which is great. So our son started taking, obviously, Idebenone, right? Because that seems to be the overall I'm not seeking medical advice here, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, but that's what's going on. And we did locate a company that distributes it within the United States after some research. Are there one or two that are well known that a lot of folks that take that secure that product from, or is it just a limited resource? Is there information on that?
I'd say it's changed over time a little bit, Paul. So you'll see if you go to that Facebook group, and I know you don't do that as much as maybe your son's wife does, your daughter-in-law, but you'll see if you were to search for Idebenone there, you'll find lots of different posts where people are like, hey, my supplier for Idebenone is closing, or my price has changed or something. Do you recommend a different one? So at different times, there are different places that may recommend that. I assume the way you did your research to find someone is going to be very similar to the research anyone would do at any point in time. I don't know that there's a typical gold standard for that, but if someone feels strongly about where they get their Idebenone from and you'd like to share that here, feel free. Otherwise, Paul, I'd say wherever you're getting it from, I think generally it's the same product.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And I actually corresponded with the owner of the company about purity, and that's what I was concerned about, to make sure it's the authentic product. And I came away convinced. So, okay, yeah. There's other alternatives. I just my own personal knowledge. That's all. If not looking to change, but just your knowledge. Great. Thank you all. I'll step back and just listen to the rest of the crew. Thank you again.
Of course,
Paul. Paul, your last name's not Kruger, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah.
I'm just sitting in front of the computer, and somebody, Paul Kruger, just asked to join LHON to LHON.
Oh, no, I haven't done it yet. Yes, it's Taser. That's my last name.
That's okay. I appreciate. I just want to say thank you for your questions, Paul. And obviously, we have these calls for people who may have questions like yours. So thank you for leaning in and asking your questions. Want to open it up to anyone else if you have questions, comments, areas you'd like us to touch on, or even guest speakers you'd like for a future call. Now's a great time to do that. Just a reminder for anyone who did join later, the call is being recorded right now, but by the top of the hour, I'll make sure to turn the recording off in case you have something you'd like to share at that point in time.
Hey, so this is Matthew Lawson. I've had this question or concern on my mind for quite a bit, and I'd like some either advice or just some experiences that others have gone through. I'd like to be more confident in understanding of traveling, especially in the bigger areas, airports that are not really that blind accessible when it comes to like signage and things like that. What's the best way, I guess, in your experiences or knowledge of how to kind of go through those larger areas, whether it's just, you know, if you just go and ask somebody, or if you get an assistant, or that's I guess my main question relating to like transportation, that's, you know, someone brought up regarding transportation, because that's been on my mind for quite a bit, on traveling by yourself, how to get around. Do you just kind of plan accordingly, call ahead, things like that?
Are you speaking specifically about flying there, Matthew, just to clarify?
Well, just like airports or bigger areas, traveling by yourself. I haven't done it in quite a while, just by myself in general. And I'd really like to do things on my own again, but just having the confidence and lack, you know, more anxiety, of course, than anything, but how you kind of navigate through that and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
if you don't mind me asking, can you remind us where you are located, Matthew?
Yep. I am in Rock Island, Illinois.
Okay, perfect. It sounds like someone else is going to chime in, so I'll let them go first.
Yep.
Hi, my name's Joey, and I have some feedback on that. So a couple of things. First question, Matthew, is, have you had orientation and mobility training before? Are you currently in that? Or is that something you're considering possibly in the future?
Nope, I did have orientation and mobility training as a teenager through high school. And then I pretty much learned a lot for the couple years that I did go to high school to learn all that. So, yeah, I did.
Cool. So something to mention on that is in high school, they might not have gone over some of the techniques that might be helpful for when you're navigating through a larger area. But as an adult, it's always okay to go back and request additional services from wherever is your local provider of orientation mobility services, whether it be a local nonprofit or, you know, you name it. It's different, again, from each location. And so with that, you can mention like, hey, I feel like I'm pretty good at getting around in most places, but specifically bigger travel, like either taking buses or not buses, up trains, planes, et cetera. That's something that I want to work on. And that's something that a specialist ideally would be able to assist you with. But in the short run, some things for airports, what you can do is you can request what's called a meet and assist. And so with a meet and assist, you can go up to the counter of the airline that you're going to, and you call ahead and say, hi, I have a visual impairment. I just need somebody to guide me to the gate. And so with that, then they can have a person walk with you to the gate. Usually they try to offer you a wheelchair. If you do not need or want a wheelchair, it's okay to decline. Sometimes they are really pushy about it and they'll be like, get in the chair. And if you don't want to get in the chair, you do not have to get in the chair. But, you know, usually they'll try to offer it to you. And then there they'll take you from that spot at the beginning all the way up to your gate. Some additional tips, what I would recommend is try to keep track of your orientation overall. And so as you're navigating through the airport, even if you're following somebody else, pay attention to some of the things that you're noticing in the surroundings. If you have, you know, depending on where your usable vision is, you know, look for whatever blobs or features you can identify. So that way, sometimes they might not be, your gate might get changed or something might go awry. It's always good to just kind of be mindful of where you are. And then and another thing I would recommend too is with that meet and assist, once they bring you to the gate, they might just try to like dump you and say like, okay, you're here. Verify that you're at the correct gate with somebody from the airline, because I've had a couple of instances before where the person has like dropped me off at the wrong gate. And it wasn't that big of a deal because it was like one or two over, but it's always better to just verify. And some general skills that are helpful again is being ready to ask like follow-up questions and identifying people to seek out public assistance from if necessary. So again, sometimes there could be gate changes. Sometimes you might be in a circumstance where you need a problem solved. Just be prepared to communicate or identify somebody around and then like be prepared to like communicate in a way that where you are, you know, kind of specific, straight to the point, and identifying like what you, what type of information you need. But was a very frequent flyer last year. I've been affected for about 10 years, and yeah, it worked out perfectly fine for me. Those are some tips, and I hope that those are helpful.
So, so there's no like try to research this as much as possible. There's no like app out there of mapping, you know, like O'Hare or certain places like that. It's just kind of reach out and meet and get an assistance kind of thing.
Yeah, there is and there isn't. I would say don't rely on the app because it's not available in all airports. And with technology, it's not available. It's not always perfect. So there's a map out there. There's an app out there. It's a free one called Good Maps. Good Maps Explore has an indoor navigation feature, and there are some areas of public transportation that are mapped in there. And the way that it works is that it uses your phone. If an area has been mapped, which a lot of airports have not been mapped, but if it has been mapped, like I believe there are some big airports that have been, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but if it has, it uses your phone's back standard camera, and then it'll identify points that it sees with the camera, and it'll give you information about where you are within the airport. But some things to note on that is, again, your phone can die. You may end up dropping it and breaking it. You may, and with that particular app, is it might not always be available. And when it is available, if I've noticed that it's heavily, the indoor navigation is heavily affected by lighting and overall features of the environment. So it may work really great in some parts of the airport, but if there's like a funky lamp, then it might not give you the detail that you need. So if it there is and isn't that thing that you're searching for.
What about IRA for
Oh, sorry.
What about, no. What about using Aira for airport navigation?
That's another great thing to consider. So Aira is a service that connects you to a live person, and you're able to
Is that Use My Eyes? Is that what that is?
It's similar but different. So with Aira, they are trained specifically to work with people with visual impairments, and generally the level of information that they can give you is usually better. Some things to note with Aira is that Aira is it is paid with an asterisk. So you get 5 free minutes a day. So if you can conserve all of your questions for those 5 free minutes, then that can be a great option if you don't want to spend money. And there are specific locations where you get unlimited minutes. So there are some areas of public transportation where you can get unlimited minutes, but it's not like that in every area of public transportation. So you may have an airport that has a deal with Aira where when your phone detects that, like, okay, you are in insert whatever airport, you know, now you can use Aira for an unlimited amount of time. But it also might not have that. With Be My Eyes, that is similar to Aira, except it is volunteer based. So some things to note with it being volunteer based is the level of information that you receive might not be up to the, you know, standards that Aira has, because it's just, you know, good Samaritans who are trying their best. And another thing to note with that too is because it's volunteer based, you want to make sure that you don't have any sensitive information out and visible for the volunteer. Most, again, they are generally speaking great people with good intentions, but I would not have my social security card out and visible in front of your phone. And with Be My Eyes, a great option with that, because it is some great things to note about that is, one, Be My Eyes is free. Two, it also has an AI function that is embedded within there. And now that's available both on Android and iOS with the AI function. If there's ever a situation where you're like, I just have a quick question, I don't want to wait for a volunteer, I don't want to have a full conversation, I just want to figure out whatever information about the things that are in my immediate vicinity. If you go to the second button along the tabs and open up Be My AI, and you take a picture once that is open, it gives you a really great detailed description of what's directly in front of you. It's pretty simple, and it can be helpful for when you're just trying to get that general orientation information. So those are some things to consider. Again, it also depends on like what device you use, but even with that, with the technology, technology can be great, but also be prepared to use non-technological options for those situations where if your phone dies or breaks or gets lost or stolen, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Matthew, it's Chris. When they get you to the gate, if you're the assistant who's with you doesn't alert the people who are at the ticket counter, or not the ticket counter, but they're at the gate, I always see that they do. So make sure you're in the group that first boards the plane. They can help you down the jetway and get you to make sure you're the first on the plane. When you're visually impaired, you should be in the group that first enters the plane. And when you get in your seat, when they're all settled down, I've had flight attendants come back to me to make sure I understand in the event of emergency where I should go in the event of emergency. They usually are really good about that. They know, like, they tell me where the lights are and follow the lights, and this is where I would go in the event of an emergency. So they're they should do that. But you definitely should be the first in the group, the first one to board the plane. They make it should be easy.
The only other thing with gate assist, and I don't mean to like cause paranoia at all, but like maybe just keep track of everything while you're going through security. I've had people try and like push bags through for me, or like they were kind of handsy with my bags while it was going through security. And it was like, no, I've got this. Like, please don't touch my stuff kind of thing. And maybe that's just paranoia. So just kind of a heads up there.
Yeah, ran into a couple of times, once in Toronto, never really internationally. But most of the time I travel with my wife. But when we split up and we're going through security due to my disability and stuff, and I try to explain to them, many of them don't realize policies and procedures that they were given when it comes to handling somebody with a disability. And I find it quite surprising in many cases that there's been, I think, two times that a manager or somebody would come out and be like, yeah, so sorry that, you know, this happened. This is supposed to be this way. And it's like, I understand everyone's in a rush, but when you have people that are in wheelchairs or anything like that, there needs to be some kind of standard across the board that, you know, it's been frustrating sometimes. And so it just, you make valid points, and it makes me anxious sometimes, especially in a huge airport like O'Hare, to try and navigate things and trying to figure it out on my own, because I haven't done it in, I don't know, 10 years or so.
Yeah, and I think also it's tough because also like going back to like, so when you land and you're trying to like get to your car or your Uber, yeah. I mean, I've asked people to help me get all the way to my Uber, and they've, you know, really asked for tips, and wow. I don't think that's really procedure. So
yeah.
That's what's tough too, but just like stuff to think about. And I know we're not, I'm not giving like super guidance, but like just kind of, you know, saying what I've dealt with before.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is relevant to you, Matthew. This is Angie. But I just lost my vision, but my brother lost it about 8 years ago. And when I still had my vision, I would get a pass at the airport. You can get a special pass to walk, to accompany someone in to the airport and go past security. And so you can actually get someone to walk in with you without a ticket. They print out a special ticket for that person, so that they can't board a plane, but they can go through security with you. So they don't actually have to go through with the, like, with the wheelchair or whatever, with the special person who's, you know, getting handsy with your luggage and all that. Like, they can actually walk in with you, get to your gate with you, sit with you, whatever. And then once you get to your plane or your gate or whatever, then they can go home. That doesn't help you on the way home, but it certainly helps you in the overwhelming O'Hare airport, right? So, like, you know, my brother was flying out of SFO, and that was really helpful to him, for me to like get him to his gate whenever he was flying out. So
that's something
that is actually permissible and to ask about.
Okay. Well, thank you. Makes me think more, of course, in the near future, if I travel alone and try to figure things out, because that's just a huge understanding of different people's perspectives, of course, trying to build my confidence back up, especially in a huge area, because when you're around large crowds, I kind of just get overwhelmed and anxious, and it's like, okay, I've never lost. I just need to ask the right person, or, you know, maybe I walk a few feet this way and maybe I'll find something. You know, it's one of those things, but I haven't had to be that super uncomfortable in quite a while, and just trying to get some feelers out there on how others experience it. So,
This has been thank you for asking the question, Matthew, and thank you for all of the feedback from everyone. One thing that hasn't been noted, I know Joey asked about whether you'd take an O&M training. One thing that does make asking some of those questions a little easier, and I'm not sure if this is something you're comfortable with or something you already do, but is at least carrying a white cane in a situation like that to identify yourself as someone who may need assistance. It provides a little credibility to asking some of those questions, and it allows folks to help you. I'm not sure if that's something you always do, never do, are fearful of doing or anxious to do. But
it's mostly when I'm on my own. You make a good point, because I've realized when I don't carry it, I have to explain myself 20 times over. And then I've realized, I should just carry it from now on. And that's a good point to make. And any advice to anybody that they should have that white cane, because otherwise you're explaining yourself over and over. So,
But thank you for the question, Matthew.
I'd like to add one more thing. Speaking about the cane, my cane has to pass through the security. My daughter just got a new cane, and hers is graphite, and that does not have to go through security, a newer cane. Do not have to pass through security. There's one other thing I think is a helpful tip. If you're flying, for instance, across country, or you have a long flight and you have to make possibly make connections. I try and avoid that at all costs. I'm in Philadelphia. I had an appointment with Dr. Sadoun out at UCLA, and you know, I was making connections I tried doing this through Dallas, through Denver. Oh my God, don't fly to Denver. The snow or the, sorry, Jessica. But, well, no, trying to, or if the plane's diverted somewhere or something, Matthew, the easiest thing if you're making a long flight is try and fly direct, if at all possible. For someone who's visually impaired, if you don't have to make stops or connections, that's the biggest tip I can possibly give you. Just try and make it as easy for yourself as possible and fly direct. You want to avoid stopping, getting off the plane, making a connection. But if you do, the ticket agent should know about it because they'll have someone meet you. I don't want to scare you either, because I've had to do that. I made the plan, my tickets through the ticket agent, and they did have someone meet me at the stop, and then they took me to my next gate and all that. But it was just such a hassle, and it's just more comfortable if you can do a direct flight.
Agreed. That's yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for adding that, Chris. With that, Jessica, since we are beyond the 1 hour mark, I do want to move toward opening up the line, but we're not ending this call for anyone who wants to hang around by any means, but I do want to make sure for folks who have questions that they wanted to ask once the recording stopped, that they have an ability to do that. But Jessica, before we open up the call and turn off the recording rather, I want to make sure we're able to plug upcoming LHON calls if you'd like, and then I can tell everyone when the next LHON live call is if you'd like.
Oh yes, definitely. All right, give me 2 seconds. Okay, so a couple of things to kind of share about upcoming calls is, first, as I shared in the beginning of the call, all of the calls are actually posted already in the LHON.org page. Check out the Facebook page. Lisa did share how to be able to navigate to the entire calendar. So we have everything planned for 2024, which is so, so exciting. So we're really excited and honestly couldn't do it without our wonderful leaders throughout the entire group. So thanks to them. Let's jump into the calls that are happening in January. Obviously, LHON Live, we are kicking off the month. The next call is Navigating Education. And that call is on Thursday, January 11th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Next call is LHON 3460. Just for reference, that's one of the main mutations for LHON. And that's on Saturday, January 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific. Next call is Moms of LHON Affected Kids. And as a reminder, kids of all ages, no matter what my mom tells me, I'm still a kid and I'm also the same age as your son, Paul. And that call is on Wednesday, January 17th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And that is actually a wrap for us for January. It's a pretty late month, but no fear. We have so much in store for you guys for the rest of the year. So soak up the time in January, join us for all of these calls, and then definitely make sure you join us. There are a couple new calls coming up for 2024. So keep an eye and ear out for the new calls. We will be announcing them all here in the LHON .org newsletter, but obviously also on Facebook. The two calls that we will be launching will be Parenting with LHON, and don't hold me to that name because I'm not sure if that name will stick, so don't hold me to that at all. And the other one is Affected Women. So two new calls. We're so excited to have those. Keep an eye out for those when they'll be happening. They're definitely happening in the first half of the year. And we're just really excited and super thankful for everybody that's helped volunteer to pull all these calls together for this year. So yeah, thank you very much.
Of course. And to let everyone know, the next LHON live call will be February 7th. Again, that's always the first Wednesday of the month. Exact same time. So 8 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S., 5 p.m. Pacific. Same Zoom link, same phone number if you call on the phone. Exact same way you made it here tonight. With that, we will begin to turn the recording off. I will remind everyone that if you would like to make sure we talk about a specific topic next month, you can always bring yourself and bring that topic to the next month, or just reach out to me. My name is Andy Marks or Jessica Loomer. on Facebook, text us, email us, whatever you'd like. Feel free to reach out to us and we'll make sure we talk about it. With that, I'm going to go ahead and get the recording turned off and we can continue the conversation. One moment, please hold.